Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I'm sure glad you're here. What we're doing is important. What we're doing is exciting. What we're doing is necessary. Amen. And if the Super Bowl was more important, I could have canceled church and watched the Super Bowl somehow, you know. But what we're doing is more important tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 7. Let's all go ahead and stand together and read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we'll read verses 1 to 7. In the 1 Corinthians, let me turn there. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 7. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." You help me every other verse, okay? Together. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Let's read verse 7 together. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Let's pray. Father, help us this afternoon. I pray you'd use your word again to speak to our hearts and to strengthen us. Help us to do as we ought in our relationship with you and in our lives. Help us realize we're really just stewards of our lives, and all that you give us, it really is yours. It's never really truly right for us to call it ours or say it's ours, although it is in a certain sense, but truly it's yours, God. And with our life, help us to say, it's yours, Lord. Whatever you want, I'll do it. All that has been placed in my hand, Lord, it's yours. And I'll do with it as you want. Help us, God, to have that mindset, to truly see all that is in our hand as being yours, all that you've given us as being yours. And help us to honor you and glorify you with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. In Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14, the Bible says something. "Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We just sang that verse a little bit ago. "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." We want what's in our heart and what's in our life to be acceptable to the Lord and pleasing to the Lord. When God works in our hearts, we begin to realize that there's really no such thing as sometimes people talk about there being self-made people or self-made billionaires or self-made this or that. Nobody truly is self-made. Everything that we have is given to us by God. We're not self-made. If anything we, you know, the good things we have or what we become, it's because people have invested in our lives. It's because people have taught us. People have influenced. Nobody is really ever self-made. "Well, I'm just a self-made man," or "I'm a self-made woman." No, you're not. We're all a product of what's been given to us or what's been invested in us. And truly, every good thing that we have, every good thing is a gift from God. And we are the stewards, or we are the managers of the blessings of all the good things that God bestows upon us. And this was the truth that the Apostle Paul was teaching the Corinthian church as he encouraged them to participate. There was a special offering they had promised beforehand they were going to be a part of for the church at Jerusalem and their needs. And he wanted to challenge them to purpose in their hearts to be involved. A few statements just quickly this afternoon. Number one, Christian stewardship begins as growth in grace. All through this chapter, we see the words grace being mentioned over and over again. And grace is a part of giving. Grace is a part of stewardship. Of course, there's different meanings sometimes we think about the word grace. We talk about being saved by grace, right? And what does it mean to be saved by grace? What's the unmerited favor of God? He is willing to give us something that we don't deserve. It's by the grace of God that we can go to heaven. It's by the grace of God that He saves us. So we're saved by grace, but you know what? We're also supposed to live by grace. And how are we supposed to live by grace? Of course, we should have that same way of living, that where we show favor to others, unmerited favor, undeserved favor. But living by grace in a basic sense or a doctrinal sense sometimes means a certain disposition that is created within us by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that creates within us an ability to live by grace. That by the grace that God gives us, we are able to live a certain way. By the grace that God gives us, we are enabled and we are helped. Sometimes the Bible talks about the grace of God. What does it mean? Well, the Spirit of God produces a certain grace within us to be able to live a certain way. How is the fruit of the Spirit born out in a person's life? Or how is it produced in a person's life? Only by the Spirit of God, right? Only by the Spirit of God. Only by His grace can we possibly produce those things. And it's going to be by the Spirit of God and the grace that He creates within us that we will have an ability to give. Grace is going to be the beginning of stewardship and us being able to steward our lives and give our lives to God the way He would want. Notice what it says in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That means we really want you to know about, essentially. We do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You know, what was it that was going to allow these Macedonian Christians to steward their lives and steward their finances, limited as it was, in the way that they were able to? It was going to be the grace of God. It was going to be the grace of God produced within them, the grace of God working within them that would allow them to do what they did. And then it goes down in verse 7 and talks about, you know, as you're abounding in everything, abounding in your faith, you're abounding in utterance, you're abounding in knowledge, you're abounding in diligence, you're abounding in love. He says, I want you to abound in this grace also. So the grace of in the area of giving is really another grace that is going to be produced within us by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, we'll have more faith. By the Spirit of God, we'll be able to have a godly love for people. By the Spirit of God, His grace in us, we'll be able to give the way that God wants us to. Paul mentions their grace back in verse number 1, and then in verse 2 he begins to talk about just their generosity. And it's an incredible thing how they were in great trials, they were in affliction, but yet they had joy and they were liberal in their giving. What can do that? Only God's grace. Only God's grace can produce that. Apart from God's Holy Spirit and His grace working in people, there would not have been an offering given. Because you know what our natural tendency is? You know what my natural tendency is? By nature, every one of us would want to hold on to things. We want to hold on to our life. We want to hold on to our wallet. We want to hold on to what we got in our pocket. That's going to be natural. That's going to be what is natural in man, our human nature. There's a joke about a dad. He gave two toonies. He gave two toonies to his daughter on a Sunday morning. And he told the little girl, okay, you got the two toonies, and you're going to go and you're going to take one to church, and you give one for God, and then one is for you to be able to get ice cream on your way home after church. This little girl, she walked to church. Her dad didn't go to church, but he gave her the two toonies. Okay, take one and give it to God, and you can keep one, and you can go to McDonald's after, and you can get some ice cream. And she was skipping along the road to go to church, and she stumbled and fell, and she lost one of the toonies. And it rolled, and it fell into one of those drainage things, you know, on the road. And she got up and said, well, God, there goes your toonie. There goes your toonie. You know what? That is a natural reaction, isn't it? Natural reaction is, sorry, God, you don't get yours, but we get ours. You know, we will want to hold on. We'll want to keep things for ourselves. That is nature. Our tendency is going to be to hold on, but it's God's grace working in us that causes us to give. Why is it that some people that have so little can have such a generous heart to give? What is it that helps us to be able to give? It's God's grace working in us. Knowing what God's grace has done and then God's Spirit producing grace in us is what causes us to really be generous in giving. The Macedonian church, they actually begged God. They begged Paul to take the offering. Notice what it says in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. So when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he's using those other churches, the Macedonian churches, as an example. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He's using those churches as an example. We talked about Philippi maybe just last Sunday, I think. And he uses them as an example for their giving. But notice what he says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They entreated them. Even though the Macedonian church, the church in Philippi and Thessalonica, them, even though they didn't have much, they said, no, Paul, we want to be a part of this. I beg of you, please, take the gift. We want to give it. It wouldn't matter if Paul said, you probably shouldn't give. You don't have much to give. He said, no, we want to give. We want to give. They prayed, and with much entreaty, with begging, Paul, we want to help the church at Jerusalem. We want to help them. And so really, they were almost like begging, let us have that opportunity to give. Let us be able to help them. We want to do something. They were begging for them to be able to let them participate and take an offering and try to help those saints back at Jerusalem that were suffering and had needs. It's grace that causes us to look beyond ourselves. How is it? You know, verse 2 doesn't make any sense to us humanly, right? To us and many times our selfish ways. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. That wouldn't make sense to people who looked at that or to people who don't know the Lord. But it's the grace of God that causes us to look beyond ourselves and not just, well, I got to take care of me and I got to make sure that I have what I want or what I need. It's grace that causes us to look at the needs of others and do something. Even in their poverty, their liberality abounded. We see their affliction, we see their poverty, we see God's grace, and you add it all up, and what does it equal? Joy and generosity. How could they be joyful? How could they be generous? Well, because you take affliction, and you take poverty, and you stir in God's grace. Bake it in the oven at 350 for 20 minutes, and what comes out? Joy and generosity. That's what it is. Deep poverty, deep trials, affliction, poverty. But mix in God's grace, the secret ingredient. Boy, and out comes joy and generosity. It's God's grace. God's grace. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. When God's grace is at work in our hearts, we're not looking for reasons to not give. We're looking for ways that we can give. Secondly, Christian stewardship is motivated by love for God. Go down to verse number 8. Christian stewardship is motivated by love for God. Love expresses itself in giving. Love expresses itself in giving. Notice verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness or the example of others, and to prove the sincerity of your what? Of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. Love expresses itself in giving. You've heard this saying before, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. It is possible for some people to give without loving. You know, maybe in a workplace they could put on a lot of pressure. We're going to have a drive for United Way, and if everybody would just give 0.1% of their paycheck to United Way, and a person could give without necessarily loving or knowing anything about United Way. You know, but what's different about a believer? What's different about these Macedonian Christians? You know why they gave? They gave because they loved. They gave because they loved God. They gave because they loved people. And they wanted to make a difference. They wanted to help the needy Christians back there in Jerusalem. And that's why they gave. Love expresses itself in giving. What does John 3:16 say about our God? For God so loved the world that he gave, right? Love will always, the end of that will always be giving. Love expresses itself in giving. Love expresses itself in giving. Love is the highest motivation for giving. Notice verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, how did that happen? How did the Lord become poor? Well, not in the physical sense, maybe, or the, you know, monetary sense, but Jesus left heaven. Jesus left all the glories and splendors of heaven. Jesus left up being in the presence of his heavenly Father, being with God. He left heaven to come down to earth. He became poor so that we could become rich. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. Jesus left heaven. Jesus came down to earth. Jesus came down to live amongst sinful men. Jesus was willing to go to the cross. Why? To prove the sincerity of his love for us. And just like Paul writes to this church at Corinth and says, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. I want you to abound in the grace of giving. Our best example for that is Jesus Christ. Listen, love expresses itself in giving. Love is the highest motivation for giving. What does John 15:13 say? Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love expressed itself in giving. He gave his life for us. It was love that caused a woman named Mary to break open some costly ointment and to wash Jesus' feet with that. Remember what some of the people thought? That's foolish. What is she doing? Why is she wasting that bottle of precious ointment? That's so valuable. I mean, we could take it and sell it and have money to maybe help the poor. That's what they said. That's probably not what they really meant. That's probably not what they would have done with the money. But they said this. Listen, Mary gave what she gave. Why? Because she loved her Lord. She loved Jesus. She was willing to pour out that which was costly. She was willing to give it all. Why? Because she loved Jesus. What was it that caused a woman, a widow woman, to cast in her last mite, all that she had, into the treasury when Jesus was there looking on, the disciples were nearby? What was it that caused a woman, widow woman, to cast in her last mite, the very last that she had, all that she had? You know what it was that compelled her to do that? Love for Jesus. Love for Jesus. She didn't do that to, well, I want everybody to see what kind of a giver I am. No. The truth is, those that looked at it with human eyes and human perspective, they didn't think it was much. And Jesus had to correct the disciples. You want to know who's really given in much? You want to know who's really given the most valuable gift to the Lord? That widow woman. That woman who all she had to give was just half a penny. All she had to give was just her last mite. You know why it was the greatest? Why? Because she loved the Lord and she gave to him all that she had. She gave to him all that she had. Love expresses itself in giving. Love is the highest motivation for giving. Christian stewardship begins with grace. Christian stewardship is motivated by the love for God. And here's a third thought. Christian stewardship flows from a heart that purposes to give. Christian stewardship flows from a heart that purposes to give. As I grow in grace and in my love for the Lord, I'll purpose in my heart to give. The more passionate my faith, the more persistent will be my giving. The more passionate my faith, the more persistent will be my giving. You know what? If we're passionate about something and we love something, we'll purpose in our heart to give. It won't be kind of, well, if I feel like it now or if I don't feel like it. No, I'll purpose in my heart to give. Why? Because it's something I'm passionate about. It's something that I love. It's something I'm purposing to do. Notice what the Bible says over in chapter 9 and verse 5. Stay with me. Stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 5. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 5. Thank you, Jenna. It says this, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 5. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Bounty being what they had promised to give. They had said a year ago that they were going to do something, but they hadn't fulfilled their commitment yet. And he says, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Paul says, I'm not asking for it, you know, for any reason out of covetousness. I'm asking for it because I'm reminding you about it because you said you were going to do it. You said you'd help the church of Jerusalem. We should prepare from the heart. And Paul's reminding them, hey, you need to prepare for it. You need to make it ready. You need to get it ready. I'm going to send someone to come. They're going to go. They're going to go to the different churches. They're going to gather what people have promised, what they've said they'd give to help with the need at the church of Jerusalem. And we should prepare it, get it ready, make it ready, prepare it from the heart. The bounty was the offering. He says to make it up beforehand. That means you're preparing it, you're getting it ready. Listen, when we purpose to give from our heart, we will prepare to give. It will be a significant thing in our life. It'll be something we plan for, something we prepare for. It's not just something we do if we happen to have something. Some Christians, sadly, have the mentality that they never prepare to give. Just if, well, they happen to end up in church that Sunday, and if they happen to feel like, oh, I got some change in my pocket, or I happen to dig in my purse, and I got something, so I probably should chuck something in there. They don't give out of any purpose. They don't give out of any love. They just maybe give out of duty. They just happen to give. Listen, the Christian who loves God and the Christian whose life is being affected by God's grace, they've got the grace of God abounding in them and working in them. They purpose to give. And they prepare to give. Why? Because we're passionate about it. We've got a heart invested in it. We love the Lord. It's something we prepare for. It's something we make ready. We know we're going to have an opportunity to give. We know that Sunday's coming. We know that offering time's coming. We know that this missionary is coming. And we try to prepare and make ready and look forward to giving. We should prepare from the heart. Christian stewardship flows from a heart that purposes to give. We should prepare from the heart. And secondly, with that, we should purpose from the heart. We should purpose from the heart. Notice what it says. Go on to verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants us to purpose from the heart. Let it be that we have a heart that purposes to give. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. We don't have to be a stinky old grumpy giver. God wants us to be a cheerful giver, that we purpose to give. We want to give. We desire to give. We look forward to giving. Somebody doesn't have to twist your arm or, you know, go and, you know, cut a hole in your pocket or something. No, we purpose to give. We look forward to it. And I'm glad you do. I know you do. We should purpose from the heart. Let me share with you just a few simple thoughts about that we see in chapter, going back to chapter 8 as well. When we purpose from the heart, three simple thoughts. These words, equally, bountifully, and cheerfully. Equally, bountifully, and cheerfully. There are three important words we see in these chapters. Go to back to chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. Notice what it says. For if there first be a willing mind. So what kind of a mind? A willing mind. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted. God says it is accepted according to what? According to that a man hath. And not according to that he hath not. To the person who has $132.16 in your bank account, and you know that you have that much exactly in your bank account, and that's all that you have, God's not going to speak to your heart and say, I think you should give $1,000 a week to me. Or I think you should. He's not going to do that. Our God is a, if I can say it this way, he's a fair God. He's a just God. If there be a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Again, going back to the story of the widow who gave her mite. When Jesus looked at her and what she gave, even though to some people would have thought, oh, that's so little. She can't give very much. Jesus knew it was the greatest gift in the whole crowd. Why? Because she gave all that she had. God's expectation is not on, well, you have to give what they're supposed to give, what they're supposed to give, what they're supposed to give. The truth is this, it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. Not equal gifts per se in what we might think is equal, but equal sacrifice. You know what? Everybody can sacrifice. Everybody can make an equal sacrifice. Everybody can equally live by faith in God. Everybody can equally have a willing heart and a willing mind to give. It says again, notice it, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not.
For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be may be an equality. Listen, God is for equal sacrifice. Equal sacrifice. God's expectations for each one are going to be different based on the ability that he's given to us. And we don't need to worry about doing what someone else can do. We just need to do what God enables us to do. That's all. Do what God gives us an ability to do and do what God speaks to our heart about doing. What God's grace allows us to do, what God's provision for us allows us to do, what God's blessing for us has allowed us to do, what our measure of faith allows us to do, that's what we should do. According to what God blesses us to do or enables us to do or gives us the faith to do. That's what it means to be equal. It's not, well, everybody's got to pay this tax. No, it's when we talk about grace giving and giving offerings and giving to missions and all that sort of thing, it's just equal sacrifice. Equally having a willing heart, equally having a willing mind, equally being willing to do what God would enable us to do. That being said, turn over to chapter number 9 and verse number 6. A second word. The first word was equally, and the second word is bountifully. Bountifully. And now bountifully will be different things for each individual according to how God has blessed us or enabled us or prospered us. But notice what he does say. This ought to be our heart. This ought to be, you know, the heart of someone that is willing. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, so reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully, so reap also bountifully. We should have a desire in our heart to sow bountifully. We should have a desire in our heart to say, I want to be generous. God, I want to give you as much as I can. God, I want to give to your work as much as I can. And God, I want to be bountiful. I want to be bountiful in my giving. We just ought to strive to be generous with God. With whatever ability God gives us, strive to be generous with God. Strive to be bountiful. And then the last word is cheerfully. Cheerfully. What are the three words? The first word is equally. Equally. The second word is what? Bountifully. And the third word is cheerfully. Cheerfully. What's the first word? Equally. The second word is bountifully. The third word is cheerfully. Cheerfully. Notice verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. God wants us to be cheerful. God will take things from a grouch, but he wants us to be cheerful. We ought to have a cheerful heart, a willing heart. Desire to give. Realize that equally means it's equal in our sacrifice and equal in our willingness and so on. It may not be equal gifts in the sense of what man would judge it as, but equal in our sacrifice and equal in our desire to give and equal in our willingness. And don't worry about what others can do. Do what God enables you to do. Strive to be bountiful. Ask God to help you to have a bountiful spirit and a generous heart with God, and then do it cheerfully. Don't do it because you feel forced. Do it cheerfully. If it's not from a willing heart or a cheerful heart, I don't think it pleases the Lord in the same way. Give cheerfully. And then notice what verse 8 says. Chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. That's another promise for you that you can mark down. That's a promise that you can claim. That's a promise that you can hold God to. When you come before God and you say, God, I want to have a heart to give. God, I've got a willing heart. I've got a willing mind. God, I don't have much, but I want to give what I can give. It may not seem like much, God, but I want to give what I can give. I want to be bountiful. I want to be a cheerful giver. Okay. You hold up God's word and you show it to him and you remind him of the promise. God, you promised me there. You promised me. It's your grace working in me that's helping me to give. It's your grace within me that makes me want to give and wants to prove my love to you, God. It's your grace working in me that wants to help others. And God, you promise. You promise, God. And you show him. God is honored. He's got to obey his word, right? He's got to keep his word. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. You say, is that a promise? It sure is. It's a promise you can hold to God that He's got to take care of your sufficiency. He's got to meet your needs. If you'll be cheerful and bountiful and willing in your giving, you hold that to God. That you can continue to abound in every good work. God is able to provide as I purpose by faith to participate. As we learn about Christian stewardship, we need to grow in grace. Because Christian stewardship starts with grace. It starts with the grace of God working in us. Christian stewardship is supposed to be motivated by love. Remember we said love expresses itself in giving. The greatest expression of love is going to be giving. And then we need to purpose from our hearts to give. We need to grow in grace. We need to be motivated by love in our giving. And then we need to purpose from our hearts to give. Purpose from our hearts. Where we prepare it. We make it ready. We've got a willing heart. We've got a willing mind. And we strive to give with equal sacrifice. Or we strive to give bountifully as God has prospered us. Or we strive to give cheerfully in a way that pleases and honors the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I ask you to take these truths and put them home in our hearts. Help us, Father, to have a heart to give, a mind to give. We may not give what others can give, but Lord, we can give what you want us to give and what you enable us to give. But God, I do ask that you give us a willing heart and a willing mind.